Hi, how you getting on? Are you ready for another episode? It's time to sit back, relax, and be inspired by Trials of a Sofa Surfer. Hello and welcome to another episode of Trials of a Sofa Surfer. This afternoon I'm speaking with Sean. Sean was a tenant at the Arch up until 3 years ago. I don't want to say too much about Sean's story because he shares it and explains it far better than I could. But I just wanted to mention here at the beginning that we're very grateful that Sean come in to speak with us. His story is funny, it's quite poignant and a bit of an inspiration. So you're in for a good time. It's quite a long episode this week, but you know, you can pause it and go back to it. You don't have to listen to it in one sitting, but I think you will. So sit back, grab yourself a coffee, chill out and enjoy Sean's story.
Oh, the flat's absolutely brilliant.
How long have you been in there now?
I've been in there for 3 years altogether now. So I moved in there on the 1st of June. When was it? 2016.
No, 3 years?
Wow. Aye, or was it 2015? I don't know. I get muddled up with the times. But it's 3 years I've been in there anyway, that's for sure. So
time flies.
And funny enough, actually, just over the weekend there, you know, because I celebrated my 5 years clean, I bought myself one of them flat pack wardrobes and chest of drawers. It was needed, you know what I mean? And so I bought all that, so I was having fun.
So you bought a flat pack chest of drawers?
Yep.
And as wardrobe. A celebration?
Yep,
as you a mean celebration. You couldn't buy yourself a cake?
I'd get plenty of cakes with what I do, you know. So. I've got that to come Saturday, and I just had a cake there yesterday and all.
So you enjoy building flat packs?
I am really good with my hands because I used to deal with a lot of furniture.
In what context?
Basically, I used to be part of Emmaus. Emmaus Glasgow in 2007 there. So part of my job was working in a workshop, and do you know, because there was a second-hand furniture place, and they'd get like furniture come in and it'll be like, Sean, can you build that? So there'd be all the nuts and bolts and all that, and all the slats, say if it's a bed, a bunk bed, or do you know, something to put together, and it was just like, so everything'd be there, but there'd be no instructions because naturally it's second-hand.
Yeah.
And that'll be like, off you go. Do you know,
so like a giant jigsaw,
yeah,
a 3D jigsaw.
I basically, you know, and it was just like, okay, here we go. Yeah. And it was fun and games some of the times, you know.
I can get that.
And the more challenging it was, the more like the other service users used to get excited over it. Just like, right, here we go, let's see how well Sean does with this one, you know. And it was just like, it was great fun, good old days, really.
There's people making a living out of doing that, you know, they just go around, you know, offering a service. So that could be a new career path for you.
I mean, I can completely restore an old cabinet. Say if it's solid oak and all that, I can get it so it's all like looking quite modern, but yet still got that antique feel to it. Do you know? But I mean, it takes time. It takes lots of nitromorphs and sanding down. Do you know? And a lot of patience and all that. But at the same time, it's very therapeutic.
Yeah, I was going to say patience. I've not got the patience for that. I like the idea of doing that and starting it, and then, I just go to IKEA and buy a new one. So, Emmaus, so 2007, did you say you were
there? Yep, 2007, 8 and 9.
So what got you there? Did you get there? What's your journey there?
How did I get there then? So really, probably in my hometown, I was on the streets. Actually, my hometown is down in England, you know. I was on the streets, I was squatting, I was homeless. I was caught up in addiction, heavily really drinking. You know, probably I spent the morning watching people going to work, sitting on the shelf, drinking a 3 litre bottle of cider, cheap cider, trying to get rid of the DTs and the shakes and all that, you know, and thinking I'm going to be begging off yous on your way back from work, knowing that they'd have change in their pocket and all that, and I'd make them enough to see me through the night, you know. I was naturally, when you're homeless and all that, you know, there's certain services that there was available in the town that I was at, and you know, I could go and get a shower and I could get something to eat, and you know, and basically speaking with one of the support workers there, they'd done a referral. They said, how about going to Emmaus? But the only place that had any beds was the one here in Glasgow, you know. And I got warned, you know, it'd be like, I'd probably be on a drink ban and, you know, and they'd deal with my alcoholism and all that. And I was just like...
Had you ever been to Glasgow before?
Nope.
Did you know where Glasgow was?
Nope. Nope. And I remember actually, you know, funny enough, I remember my granddad dropped me off at the bus station and thinking, because they paid for my ticket to get up here, and thinking he's going to die. Do you know, they couldn't understand why I was moving to Glasgow.
Yeah.
Do you know, it was the biggest, at the time, it was the biggest drug capital of Europe.
Yeah.
Do you know, and they thought I was honestly going to end up dead.
Wow.
But little did they know, and little did I know, do you know, it was, do you know, that was going to be the start of my journey, really.
The saving of you?
Aye. And I remember I jumped down, I remember when I got up here, I thought, right, and actually I'd had a drink on the coach on the way up, you know, me being me back then, it was just like, at the back there, that's where all the boisterous lot was, you know, and they had the drinks and they're passing them around, and, you know, and of course I've cottoned right onto them, and, you know, and it's like,
sniff out a party.
Aye, that's it, you know, so we had a big party on the way up, and, I remember I jumped in the van, you know, and there's a big bloke and he was covered in tattoos and I couldn't hardly understand him, you know, but this person was in recovery, do you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
And he turned around and said, but what I did understand was, you've had a drink. Oh, well, yeah, of course I've had a drink. And he's like, well, do you know, this is going to be your last drink. I know you better than what you know yourself. And I never understood what he meant. Do you know, first off, and anyway, I got in, you know, I had to go straight up to my room when I got there.
Yeah.
Because you weren't allowed in the communal area under the influence, and, you know, wasn't that you wasn't allowed to have a drink. You certainly go out of the building and have a drink, but you, yeah, when you got in, you had to go straight up to your room, you know. But that was fun and games in there.
So did that conversation stay with you?
Not really, no, that conversation didn't stay with me, you know, but that person was a great help, you know, and, you know, I'm very good friends with him today, do you know what I mean? Very good friends with that person, and I must admit, you know, probably my time in there, you know, you see my work ethic and whatever I did, you know, because Emmaus was a working community.
Yeah.
So, you know, you lived and you worked in a building, you know, you didn't claim benefits, you know, they paid you a small allowance, but, you know, and they claimed housing benefit. But yet, you know, it was like, whatever I did, whatever work I did, whether it is in the kitchen, whether it is in the workshops, whether it is cleaning the place up, you know, I was absolutely brilliant at, you know, I was the most happy-go-lucky person and everything in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, as soon as I went out at night and had a drink, you can guarantee, you know, it was, yeah, you know, there was either havoc or, you know, it's just silly little things. I remember they showed me this camera once, you know, and went, Sean, what's all that mess on the carpet? It looks like, you know, you dropped a pizza. No, I ain't dropped no pizza there, you know. Like, can I have a look at this? Like, what? I went, is that you on the camera? You shut the door without your hand. So shut the door. Right, so this piece landed on the carpet and of course gone splat, and, you know, and I've cleaned up the best I could, and
So it's, I mean, what, if you don't mind me asking, what age are you just now?
I'm 39.
So how long have you been in Glasgow now?
I've been in Glasgow. Now I've been in Glasgow 5 years and one week.
So,
2 weeks actually. 5 years and 2 weeks exactly.
So prior to coming to Glasgow, you were homeless. You were homeless.
Yep.
Yeah. So what got you to that point?
No, this time round. No. Hang on. I've got a bit of a cough. I've had it for a couple of weeks. No, this time round I wasn't really homeless, but really part of my journey is actually when I was up here in 2007, that same bloke that I met in the van got me into treatment. You know, he tricked me. They told me that they teach me how to use a gram of coke, or I can have a gram of speed, or I'd be able to have a spliff or a drink in moderation. You know, but yet I didn't have a problem, but yet that sounded appealing.
Mm-hmm.
And off I trotted into treatment, you know. And I spent 6 months in treatment in 2007. Got out, I started doing the fellowships and, you know, and basically, but what I'd, at the same time, what I did was I give my family a lot of hope. You know, I rebuilt up a load of trust and everything else. I remember the second time I went home to see the parents, and I went to hand the key in for the house. Before I got back up, my dad turned around and went, no, you keep that. You'll need that for next time when you come down. And I hadn't had a key for the parents' house for years, yeah. You know. So that's how I really built up this trust, and they just see a completely new person and, you know, and it was just like they were happy and they were quite content. But then, like I say, I ended up moving back to my hometown and relapsing. And of course, this time, probably, you know, relapsing, and a year into the relapse, and my family just saying to me, look, you know, you're caught back up, using, get back up in the Glasgow. You know, otherwise we ain't going to speak to you again.
Yeah. So Glasgow's a good place for you.
Aye.
Incredible.
You know, considering they didn't want me coming up the first time, yeah, but this time around, it's just like, I get up there and stay up there.
And do you think you'll stay here for good? Is this where you'll be?
Yeah.
Aye. Good.
I mean, I went back to my hometown there and I didn't like it. I went back there for a week or a week and a half, roughly, just for my brother's wedding and that, and I didn't like it. I was looking over my shoulder, you know. I owe people money there and, you know, I've done a lot of damage, and it's just like, you know, and see, when I headed up here this time round, I upped and left. You know, I had all the stuff to get out of flat and, you know, and it's just like I up and left and turned around and just, I headed up here with a pair of pants, 5 pairs of socks, which I bought from the service station on the way up, a pair of shorts, a pair of jeans, a T-shirt and a jumper. And I was in this VTR 1.6 litre, you know, with the exhaust hanging off. It was all roadworthy,
yeah.
You know, and it done me a turn getting up here and just before getting this treatment. But I just remember I come up here completely broken. You know, I was really homeless when I arrived up here because I had nowhere to stay.
Yeah.
You know.
And how was that experience getting here? So you arrive in Glasgow, you're homeless.
Getting here, if I'm being totally honest, even just heading up here was, I was crying. I've been on a 5-day bender. I hadn't slept for 5 nights. So I've been on speed. And I remember I had two big bottles of San Miguel in the car. Do you know what I mean? A couple of spliffs and 3 bombs of speed. And I headed up here and I was doing 60 miles per hour because I needed to make my fuel last. And
So where did you go in Glasgow? Where did you?
So basically when I arrived up here, funny enough, that's meant how this stuff works. So I arrived up here and then I got here about 11 o'clock at night, you know what I mean? And I went straight to that Emmaus place, mm-hmm. but actually it's all shut up and closed and, you know, nobody about. But I slept outside in the car. I got about 4 hours kip. And the next day I went and hooked up with somebody that I knew that was in there. I managed to remember where that person stayed. They got me fed and got me a razor and so I could have a shave and, you know, had a shower and all that, do you know what I mean? And then I tried to sort of do a referral there. But then I turned up at a meeting. So I turned up at one of the, you know, the one of the fellowship meetings, and this person, when I was staying at Winchester, I took this person to meetings, and of course they were actually from Scotland. So then, and they'd moved back up the road here, in amongst all my relapses and all that, they'd moved back up the road here. So the last time when they see me in Winchester, the next time they see me was outside Elm Bank at one of the meetings, and it's just, and she went, "What are you doing here?"
Wow.
And I was just like, "I'm on, you know."
Ta-da.
Yep. Well, it wasn't really ta-da, you know. It's just like, I was broken, do you know what I mean? It was just like, she went, "Where are you staying?" I went, "I'm staying in my car." And straight away she went, "No, you're not. Here's the keys to my flat."
Wow.
I'm never there.
Wow.
So
That was lovely.
Aye. Really good. Bless her. She's no longer here, you know, but aye.
So you mentioned a brother. So yep. What's your family makeup?
So basically I've got two sisters and a brother. You know, I've got two dads and a mum. You know, because my mum's parents my mum remarried, you know. But my stepdad's been in my life since the age of five, you know. So really probably the youngest, they're like my brother and younger sister, are half-brothers, you know what I mean? But yeah, they're my brothers and sisters, you know.
And you're close family?
Well, fairly close. You know, I'm really close to my nan and granddad. You know, I'm really lucky that I've still got them. Do you know what I mean? And actually, I've got a step nan, and then a grandma. Do you know, but my step granddad's passed away now, and so's my other granddad that was with my grandma has passed away. But
so, what was school like? What was
school?
a young Sean into.
School,
football, netball, what were you into?
I was into football and, you know, eye cricket. I was into, you know, some normal things, you know, but I was also, how do I put it without swearing really, do you know what I mean? I was an absolute nightmare of a child.
Oh, okay.
Do you know, I can't knock my family at all. I had a brilliant upbringing. You know, I really did, you know. I mean, I could set a table at the age of five, fully set with all the proper different sizes, forks and knives and, you know, and fully set out a table. I could tie my shoelaces at the age of three, you know. I mean, I never wanted for nothing, do you know what I mean? What my mum could afford, she'll give us, you know. Yeah. You know, and like I say, I was dead lucky with my stepdad coming on the scene. He was in the army, so he was always away, you know. He actually real dad, I never really see an awful lot of, you know. But at school, that was an absolute nightmare. You know, I was probably my report from school was absolutely shocking, you know, and it got worse as I got older, you know, and especially when, you know, we went up to Yorkshire then. My dad was, like I say, my dad was in the army and he got posted in Yorkshire, and it's just like, and in school there, it's just like, especially like, we went from an army school where I started the last year in army school and then went over to civilian school.
So did you change schools a lot?
No, not a lot. No. I was always in the one school when I was, you know, down at my hometown. I was in one school there and they had the infants, the juniors next door and then the senior school after that, you know. And I remember, when we moved back down to my hometown and they looked at my record. Now, you know, bearing in mind, I've been to the junior school, I've been to the, you know, the infant school and they looked at my record and they went, "Your record is absolutely appalling. Do you know, one false move and you're out."
So no, and what age is this?
This was 12. I mean, it was just
that's,
like
that's my, a bit of pressure.
My school report was like a book and it was like, "Sean's done this, Sean's done that." There was no good report from hardly any of the teachers. Just the odd one that took that time to, you know, what is going on here? Why is this person so troubled? you know. It was just like Yorkshire was just because I suppose really with Yorkshire, I used to go to jiu-jitsu as a kid, so I was quite good. I was really good at it. Do you know what I mean? I think I got up to purple belt. Yeah, it's purple belt I got up to. So I was quite good, really handy with my hands and, you know, and all these moves and, you know. So I was a really good fighter, you know. And the problem was when I got to that senior school, they cottoned on to that. And I'd be the older lads there because I started to get this reputation. So I was always proving myself, you know.
Constantly getting challenged.
You know, and it was just like, you know, when I was fighting these older lads, you know, and the downside was I was giving them a good kicking, do you know what I mean? And, you know, and then I was just like, but then the teachers would then look at me thinking I was the instigator. Yeah. And I was just like, well, they were the ones that were starting it.
So why was jiu-jitsu a hobby, or did you feel that you needed that for protection, or you know, why go down that route?
Well, I think really
just by accident, or
no, I wouldn't say. Basically, it started up in a local community centre. It was like a church type thing, you know. We used to go there as a kid, you know what I mean. They'd put, funny enough, it was the people in our street. They owned these two churches on the scheme, do you know what I mean, on the estate down there. They owned the two churches, and basically, they would invite us to the family fun days and everything else, you know. And it's just so happened that it was jiu-jitsu starting at one of these churches, you know. And so my mum was just like, oh, would that be a good idea for you to get into, and, you know, trying to encourage me and getting me into stuff. And
so was this, do you think this was because you're maybe getting into trouble already, or was it an avenue to get rid of any excess energy?
I don't really know.
I just wonder if it was a conscious decision.
I don't know what my mum's thinking was. Maybe it was because I started to develop this temper, you know. Maybe my mum felt it'd be good for him to go along to that, you know. I don't really sort of know, you know. But I know I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoyed it really. You know, if anything, you know, compared to how I was in the classes, I was really good at that. Mm-hmm. And I was really, you know, I paid attention and, you know, I enhanced myself and, you know, I never done anything wrong. But
it's interesting, you know, the amount of people I've spoken to, whether it's art, sport, whatever, that seems to be a good avenue for expressing oneself.
Aye.
Whereas a traditional classroom academia, it's not everybody's thing. And you know, just interesting to know, you know, how were you? You know, exams, essays, things like that. In school, did your schoolwork suffer?
Yeah, it's just
because you're not I know you now. You're an intelligent, clever man. So it's not through, you know, I would have said you were an educated guy. Right. So if your school's suffering, you know, what was it? Have you ever put your finger on it? Have you looked back on it?
Not really, no. I mean, I suppose really I was quite upset with my dad leaving and all that. But now I look back and I just think, I don't really sort of know what it was, you know, whether it was just the way it was meant to be. You know, I don't really question it too much either. It's just like, that's the way it was.
Yeah.
That's what happened, you know. I probably, you know, some of the times, like when I'm going to college now and learning what I'm learning, I think, I wish I paid attention when I was younger, you know, rather than being the clown of the class and making people laugh. And, I do sometimes wish that I paid attention, but at the same time, it's just like, but then I don't regret none of that.
Yeah.
Do you know? Probably the only regrets I've got from the past is what I put my family through. Do you know? Anything else that happens, it's just like tough. You know, they can get over it. Do you know?
Move on.
I've moved on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So when did your school career finish?
So my school career finished at the age of 14. Oof. Yeah. I finished at the age of 14. I done. What did I do this one day? See, I'll give you a rundown of that day because I remember it clearly.
The final day at school.
The final day at school. Right, this was the final day. So I was in the, I think it was geography, you know, and it was Mrs. Dumbarton or something like that.
Scottish lingo.
I used to call her Mrs. Dumbarton, you know. and basically, so... Anyway, so basically, this one day, you know, I'm getting my pencil case and I'm spitting bits of paper through the pen first off. So after a while, she comes and I'm spitting it at her, you know, because me and her didn't get on, you know. I wanted Mr. Lambert back. This was the problem. Mr. Lambert, I got on well with, you know, the previous geography teacher. I got on brilliant with him because, and I'd even stay behind after the class and put the chairs up on the table for him. This is how well the report from him was absolutely phenomenal, yeah. You know. So anyway, so we had this new geography teacher. I didn't get on with her. And I'm spitting stuff at her one day and then I flick and then so she confiscates my pencil case. But yet she expects me to write. So she gives me a pencil and a rubber. What do I do with that rubber? I start pulling bits off, putting on a pencil, flicking it like that. So then she confiscates that. And it goes on and on, you know. And then at the time, they brought in these free ticks. So, of course, I'm like that, egging her on and all that. Go on, put another tick up. Go on, old farty, you know. And I, you know, lo and behold, anyway, you know, She's like, you will write. I'm like, but I've got nothing to write with. So I'm being awkward, you know what I mean? I'm being a bane and I'm showing up in front of the class yeah. And all that. I've got nothing to write with, so how do you expect me to write? You know, you might as well just put a tick up on a board or something like that, you know? I can't remember. But anyway, so I'm like, do you know what? Sod this. I don't like you anyway. I'm going to grab my stuff. I'm going to go. I'm going to go home. So anyway, I grabbed my bag and all that. I went, I want my pencil case and all that back. She went, if you walk out of here, she went, you know, you're going to get a third tick. Sit back now. And I just, no. So I want my pencil case. She went, no, you're not getting your pencil case. I went, okay, then no worries. I went, shove it. Shove the pencil case. I went to walk out. She went to stop me. So I pushed her. Right, she went, that's assault. You know, I pushed her. And I went, oh, good. I went, well, you can put this in your pipe and smoke it and all then. As I went outside, I grabbed one of the fire extinguishers, I squirted that at her. And then I set off the fire alarm then. And so I said, put that in your pipe and smoke it. And as I went to go walking out the door then, Mr. Kirby, who was a deputy and all that, and was there to line manage, well, sort of manage me as such, and anger management and everything else. He tried to stop me and I headbutted him. And I went home and that was it. They were just like, you ain't getting back in here. I did have home tuition after that. I'd have to attend this school twice a day for an hour a day, a special school in the town, and they'd come round my house three times in a week. An hour a day. Apart from art, that was an hour and a half.
How long did that last? Couple of years?
Aye, a couple of years. So, I mean, I did do exams as such, yeah. But I got Fs, which were a pass, apparently.
Okay.
Aye, no. But, you know, GCAs or GCSAs.
That's English education for you.
I'm pretty sure it's Fs because I thought that's all fails. But no, apparently they were actually passes and all that. Mm, but,
well done.
Aye. But was it very high grade passes or?
But so it's 16 years of age. What's the thought process then? What are you going to do?
What, 16 years of age?
Yeah.
Well, I'll go on to another little story there actually in the life of Sean as a kid. I was in the cadets.
Okay.
I did pay really good attention in the cadets. Do you know what I mean? You know, I learned how to iron my stuff and, you know, naturally my dad being in the army and all that taught me how to iron stuff properly. And I remember there, so this one particular day, you know, they're all going around the town selling poppies. And there was this one particular adult sergeant, major, whatever, that I didn't get on with. Do you know what I mean? There's always one. If I didn't see eye to eye with people, and I let them know, do you know? And so anyway, this one particular day, they're all selling the poppies. I've gone away to this, you know, the home tuition sort of class and all that. And when I've got out, I thought, do you know what? I'll go and hook up with them and I'll make out I'm stoned. Do you know, because I had actually started dabbling in cannabis, do you know what I mean? But on this particular day, it was all fake. I don't know, seeking attention, I suppose, do you know? So anyway, so I go and I meet up with a couple of them. I'm acting all stoned and, you know, I'm walking around. So they go into this, they finally get round to where this bloke is that I didn't get on with, you know, it was in this building. And I'm like, all right, how's it going? He went, get out. And of course, when I turned up at me cadet evening and all that, he was just like, they kicked out. That was all for faking that I was stoned. Yeah.
So you're a bit of a comedian. Or did you think you were a bit of a comedian?
I thought I was big and clever and, you know, untouchable. And then probably, like you say, you asked what was the life of Sean when I was 16. I think I'd done something at the age of 15 and a half, just after Christmas it was. And I got grounded. So, or maybe I just turned 16. But I got grounded anyway. Do you know, I wasn't happy about being grounded, especially at that age and all that, do you know. So I left home. Do you know, and I stayed at this place, do you know. And I suppose really at that age, things just went downward hill from there. Do you know, I remember I was staying at this flat and I go into this, do you know, because this was a bit of trauma that I had to deal with, do you know what I mean, in 2007 when I arrived up here. So I'm staying in this flat, do you know, and there was a couple there, do you know, that I was pals with, and it was their flat, do you know, and there was somebody else staying in the flat that was never really there, do you know what I mean, but there was a spare room anyway, do you know, and this couple always arguing and that, do you know what I mean, and this one particular weekend, you know, they had this argument. She's gone away, you know. And my mate there, you know, he's all upset. And, you know, he went looking for her and everything else. But he was quite a suicidal person. So he'd attempted suicide quite a few times. And this one weekend, anyway, I think I'd robbed a bottle of teacher's whiskey, it was. I'd robbed the bottle of teacher's whiskey from my parents' house. And I'm there and we're having a wee drink. He never had much, do you know what I mean? I think all he had was half a glass of wine glass of this teacher's whiskey. I drank more or less the rest of it. Anyway, I've gone to bed. He was quite happy. Yep, see you in the morning, blah, blah, blah. And the next minute when I'm laying in my bed then, I hear this big thud. And I'm thinking he's smashing up the room because she's not there.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, mind my stereo, you, do you know? And then when I woke up the next morning, then I felt all eerie and everything else, like somebody was watching me. I can't describe the actual feeling, you know. It was an absolute horrible feeling. That was just the most weirdest feeling ever. And I must admit, you know, I sat there and I was frozen and I was just like, you know, and it was early in the morning. It was like 6 a.m. I had a bit of a headache from the drink, do you know what I mean? And I eventually got up and went for a loo, do you know what I mean? And on the way back out from the toilet then, I looked up the hallway and I just see this bit of belt sticking out from between the door. And he put a 6-inch screw for the hole and, you know, and done himself. You know, but the scary part about it was, so I remember that, do you know what I mean? This was like 6 o'clock in the morning, do you know what I mean? Now, I remember they had like a freezer outside in the hallway and up above the window where they'd had a previous argument, they smashed the glass panel. So, and I remember getting up on top of that and breaking the glass panel. I mean, and pushing the tea towel through that they had up on there, mm-hmm. where they'd broken the glass. And then I remember grabbing his head, but that's it. I'll come round on the floor then. And because naturally he's right up against the door, so I couldn't get in through the door or nothing like that because of his weight.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I come round 2 hours later. So it was like 8 o'clock when I ran over to my mate's house. But then probably a little while later then, like a couple of days, I've started getting these dreams that I've seen his face and I've seen one of his eyeballs hanging out and it was all this sort of traumatic quiet stuff, do you know what I mean? Do you know, and then another I flaked out onto the floor, do you know, yeah. Passed out and, do you know, and I remember saying to the ambulance people, it's do you know, what's all this, or to the police at the time, do you know, because it was a big police inquiry and they were saying, well, what you've said there, do you know what I mean, is true. I'm like, well, I can't actually physically remember it. It's just happening in flashbacks or dreams, yeah. Do you know what I mean? And this went on for some years, do you know, and it wasn't really until I got into treatment in 2007 that, you know, they all come back, all these flashbacks and the nightmares, do you know what I mean? And, you know, and I sat down with the key worker that day, every single day. And what we did was we went through the actual event and then we went through what I see in the dreams or the flashbacks, you know, and just kept saying it every single day, repeating the process until it sort of, it worked like a coil effect, really. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So then it just like, merged into the one, because there's no, and what they were saying to me was that day actually pushed my brain, pushed down parts of that day, my brain, because the graphic details were so much in, you know, that my brain's like shut it off, but it's not been able to fully, it's not been able to sort of fully keep it from me, do you know what I mean? And to know it had sort of other ways of expressing itself, and that's why itself.
Counseling is so valuable.
Aye.
Is that something you've partaken in? Is it something you've thought about?
Yeah. So it took me quite a few years, but I mean, this time round, you know, since I've been up here, you know, I've been to see, well, I started counselling when I was actually in here, in the arch. So I started doing counselling and seeing a psychiatrist, you know, because, you know, I had all these mixed feelings and I was, you know, quite down and depressed and anxious and, you know, and I hated myself, do you know what I mean? So, you know, and I'll be totally honest, I wanted to kill myself at parts of it, do you know what I mean? But going away to the CBT group, he was just like, get in and see your doctor, do you know what I mean? He phoned me up the next day and I went to see the doctor then. And, mate, I think I might have just got to my place by then, do you know what I mean? Yeah. To my own flat. And, because then that's when, then he's phoned me the next day and I've gone to see the doctor and, you know what I mean, and then ended up on antidepressants and then going to see a counsellor and a psychiatrist and, you know, and having to deal with all this stuff, you know. But I wouldn't really say there was an awful lot of trauma for myself, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like especially over finding my mate there, I dealt with that already, do you know what I mean? I dealt with that in 2007. But there was other stuff. Do you know what I mean? I wasn't proud of myself for, you know, especially with what I'd done my family through, or put my family through, you know.
Well, we all make mistakes, you know, at various degrees. And it has come to terms with things like that. You can't change them. And it's coming to terms, maybe seeking forgiveness, saying sorry, and, you know, making amends, I guess. And then moving on with your life, which you've obviously shown that you can do and you've done and continue to do.
So, I mean, probably back then and all, I was so angry.
Mm-hmm.
From being so, I was angry. And probably one of the trauma things I did have as a kid was I was sexually abused a bit. So I remember the two abusers. They lived in the street, do you know what I mean? And I remember there and, you know, and I'm all over the place and I wanted to kill them. You know, I wanted to go back down south, and then I'm off to see the counsellor, and you know, and the counsellor just put it all into perspective one day. You know, and told me, said my daughter was abused by my brother. I was like, what? And the person went, yep. You know, and I actually stabbed my brother. Never took nothing away, and I was like, okay, And just saying that then brought it all into perspective that, do you know what? What's the point in living, letting people live rent-free in the head and living in so much hatred? Do you know what I mean? I could go down there, I could kill them or do whatever, do you know what I mean? But it's not ever going to take that away.
Yeah, it doesn't change.
Do you know? It ain't going to take nothing away, do you know?
I mean, it's a good thing you said there about, you know, allowing people to live rent-free in your mind. That's a great phrase. The other phrase I heard one time, you're the traffic controller of your mind. Yeah. So thoughts come in, but you don't need to let them land.
Aye.
You can just say, no, sorry, can't park here.
Yeah.
And just let them fly away again.
Aye.
So, yeah, good.
And that's a good point, because some days are easy. Because even some days, you know, it still comes in.
Yeah. Of course.
Then I remember them.
You can't really control the thoughts that appear in your mind, but you can decide to accept them.
Aye.
And let them land or let them.
Yeah.
Sign a tenancy agreement.
I usually turn around and say, one of them days, is it? No worries. Yeah. And just get on with it.
So you know? So at 16, 17, are we talking then at that point? Or was that a bit later?
Well, I don't know, 16, 17 and all that, quite a blur really, do you know what I mean? You know, I was in quite a trance, and especially after that, you know, after finding my mate and all that, you know. I suppose really 17 then, you know, it's just, so I've moved back into my nan's then. I've gone to see my nan, I've started a job, started working as a roofer, and I come back, and now naturally that lassie who went away for the weekends, and you know, she got with another bloke, and you know, and it's just like, but I stayed with her the whole time. She was just like, you can't go and all that, you know what I mean? I need you here because of what happened to such and such and all that, you know? So, and I was just there dabbling and all sorts, do you know what I mean? It was just like, so I've ended up getting a job as a roofer, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, got 20 quid a day for loading out a roof, and you know, but back then it's a lot of money, do you know what I mean? So, but I remember then the first day on the job, I've gone to work, got back, and they weren't in. Do you know, I was staying on the couch there, and I was just like, I can't live like this anymore, do you know? So, something happened that day where it's just like, I go and see my nan and granddad, so that's what I did.
And they took you in?
Yeah, they took me in.
Quite a lot of grandparents.
Aye.
So, the music scene at the time, you were telling me earlier, you're a big music fan.
Yeah. It's more, I don't know, drum and bass and, you know, all the like the rave sort of music and all that, you know, and the underground scene and the illegal raving scene and you know, you get a number and a phone line, and
so you enter all that, did all that.
Aye, you know, and you meet up and you go in a convoy, and you know, I had some good times. You know, I had some good times, but then I had some very bad times as well. You know, but I had some paranoid times, and you know, it's just like we're so off my nut on whatever, because that's what it all was all about, was just, let's just go and get high for the weekend, do you know what I mean? Yeah. You know, being a speedhead and not really liking lots of people and all that, it's just like, really, the two didn't really go, do you know? But then I had some really good times, do you know? I had some really good times, do you know? Probably, I was quite a lively sort of live and soul when I was on form. Do you know what I mean? I'd make people laugh, and it's just like, oh, here comes, you know, Sean. And, you know, I'd make people laugh. I remember, like, because one of my mates owned their own rig. So, you know, excellent. We got come quite pally with. And, do you know, we used to go quite local as well. But then we also used to go up to this paintballing place, you know, and we'd have a little rave up there. Like, the owners of that actual paintballing place used to let us do it, you know, because they weren't open on a Sunday. So, of course, so we could go up and, like, the police couldn't touch us and all that, do you know what I mean? So we'd get the rig out and all that, do you know? And I remember this particular one day and all that, and my mate was trying to raise some money for the petrol. for the generator, do you know, to keep the generator going. He weren't getting much at all. Do you know what I mean? People were putting 2p's in and all that. Like, give us that bucket. I'll go and sort this out. Do you know what I mean? So I'm like, I'm going around, do you know what I mean? And me being me and all that, not caring, do you know, I'm like this. I'm like, spare some change to the bucket. What's it for? It's for charity. What charity? I don't know yet. I just said, can I let you, we're going to do a little vote on it a bit later on. But it's for charity anyway. So the next minute, people are chucking money in. Do you know, and I think I like, do you know, what they managed to salvage from it, because the best bit is, so after a while of collecting up change for 2 hours or 3 hours, do you know what I mean? It was a blue bucket, do you know, and I put it down onto the ground and I'm stomping away to the music, you know, there's not many people left by then, and I'm stomping away, you know, and at the time we used to do groundwork. And my hard hat was blue. So I'm tripping out my nut in front of this thing and all that. I'm like, well, there's my hard hat. I better put it on. Change has come out. There's money all over. It's like sand there it was. Do you know what I mean? My mates come like, Sean, what are you doing? I'm like, I thought it was my hard hat. So he was quite horrified, actually. He was just like, funny enough, me and a few others were talking about it on Facebook a few weeks back. So, you know, can you remember this time when you done this, Sean? I had some good times. You know, another place that we used to go raving was at an old war fort. That was great. Being on acid and walking around there, do you know what I mean? It was just like, do you know, there's all these different underground bits and like big towers, and do you know, it was an absolute phenomenal place, do you know what I mean? And it was just like, we had some good times there, do you know. I remember one bit where the guns used to be facing over the water, and you could get up there, do you know what I mean? And there'd be like a big roof bit and all that. I remember I'll come walking over and I've got this big army poncho on, like a waterproof poncho. Got that over my head and I've got a big stick there and everyone's looking up like laughing, look at him. Like, I'm like, I've been travelling this land for years, you know. It's just mental times, you know, but I... So it's really good times.
That's good. So bringing us up to date, you... came to the Arch. Talk us through that. What was the experience like?
Experience. So, probably I was sofa surfing just before I got into the Arch, you know. But once I got here, you know, I wasn't still quite sure. It's quite weird, really, because I remember when I was trying to get in and I turn up on the Monday Matters or the Monday Morning Groups. And I remember then I had to do a presentation for where I volunteered at the same time in the afternoon. And I was like, how does this work when I'm doing a presentation? But yeah, I'm trying to get in there and, you know, I still couldn't get my head around it. Do you know what I mean? But, do you know, but the experience, once I got in it, it was absolutely brilliant. Do you know what I mean? We're all in recovery. Do you know? And it was just like, it was a brilliant house at the time. And, you know, do you know, we're all off the wall, we're bonkers, do you know what I mean? And it was just like, do you know, but we're all in recovery, and, you know, and it was just, and yet, you know, it stood me in the good stead, do you know what I mean? It certainly stood me in the good stead, because I know when I was in the Arch and I started to find out more about myself and I started to attend CBT because I started to realise I had mild mental health, do you know what I mean? But yet, do you know what I mean? Like the support first off, like the cooking groups and let's see how clean your flat's looking, do you know? It's just like whenever they walked in, it was just like, well, this place is spotless, do you know?
Yeah.
If anything, do you know, probably nearer the end, when they used to sit down, do you know, we'd either talk about the fellowship with, you know, the odd one or two, or, Do you know, we'd talk about computer games, what I'm playing at the moment. Do you know, there wasn't really much support needed for myself, do you know, and the Arch recognised that, do you know what I mean? It was just like...
I think that was partly because you had engaged really well and you'd went through the support and the programme.
Aye, that's it.
Which got you to a place where you were ready to move.
Yeah.
And what I'm kind of keen to know is from, because only you really know this, from the point... that you were maybe ready to move to the time that you did move. What was the kind of, what would you say the length of time was?
I think I was in here 8 months altogether. Certainly some of the, because at the time as well, homeless casework team were on strike, weren't they?
Yeah.
So, but yet, you know, the suggestions that yourselves had given me, Luz, was, you know, go around up to the homeless casework team with a pack of biscuits. Find out how your case is getting on, yeah, do you know? Yeah, yeah. I remember when I come here for the group, do you know, and Paul turned and said, I like mint yo-yos. So the next week I bought a pack of mint yo-yos, do you know what I mean? It was just, I weren't caring, I was going to go to any lengths, and you know, and if I was butter people up with a pack of biscuits, then so be it. Do you know what I mean?
And, many people are easily bought with a pack of biscuits.
And even there, do you know, it was, and like I say, it was west of Scotland there that took me on, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Do you know, and it was just like, but even then, like with my time in here, do you know, it's just like, I remember going up with one of yous up to the homeless casework team and they were like, right, so you want to put in for your section 5? I'm like, yeah. You know, and it went, okay then. So have you got any preferences? And I went, right, okay, yep. So I've got mental health, where I suffer from anxiety, depression, and sleep disorders. I just said, my flat needs to have separate rooms. My bedroom needs to be separate from my living room, and my living room needs to be separate from my kitchen, and my bathroom needs to be separate, and all are quite spacious. Okay, yep, no worries. Would you accept the high rise? No, because I'm scared of heights. So I pour this stuff down, do you know what I mean? And you know, and I remember like the staff person, like, Sean, did you really have to be so demanding there? And it's just like, well, yeah. Do you know, because otherwise they just stick you in any old where. Do you know, I was going to be quite fussy and picky because I wanted to make it my home. Do you know, so when I got offered a place, then I got offered, you know, and that's probably what I liked. But then that stood me in good stead, because then when I went up to the west of Scotland, told them all that I'm in recovery, and do you know, so when they offered me it, where it is, where I am now, they were like, go and view it. There is pronounced for gang fights, for drug taking, for alcoholism. Go and view the place. But luckily, one of you boys was actually from there. So we went round to view the actual flat. Do you know what I mean? Me and this, you know, the staff member. I don't know if I can mention their name or not, but no. But anyway, me and the staff member went round to view it. Do you know? And it was early in the morning, so the service thing worked. I got the wrong flat wrong, so we're looking at the top one instead of the middle one, do you know?
Yeah,
but he was like, oh, it even comes with a table, look. It wasn't even... do you know? But even then, do you know, it was just like... So they offered me it, but I didn't get in there till like 2 months later, do you know? It was just like, do you know? But even then, do you know... My actual like support worker within here was phoning them up and saying, what's happening here? And, do you know, it's just, do you know, what's happening here? He's quite anxious and, do you know, he's buying all this stuff to move in and, do you know, the flat's getting heaving where he is, do you know, because it was coming out of my cupboard and around, and it was just like piled right up, which, do you know what, in a way it was a godsend that it worked out like that, because that meant I could just keep buying stuff and I had everything I needed when I moved in, do you know? And it was just like, but even then the place, because the staff member from here kept getting on their case and all that, they phoned up, they went, look, just to butter him up and all that, what we'll do is we'll kit out the living room with the carpet. So I was like, I will ask her if they'll put underlay with that and all. So, and it's just like, yep, okay, yep, they said yes to underlay and all, Sean, you had to go up to here. So and even then, you know, that staff person, when I got the keys that day, come round with us, you know, so we've gone to have a look at the flat. met the person there, and they're kitting out my living room with a carpet, you know. Brilliant. What I mean? And the living room's huge, yeah. Do you know? It's a living room stroke dining room.
It's a lovely flat. It's a lovely flat. You did well.
Aye. So, and really, I couldn't ask for a better place, really. I'm happy. I've never felt so at peace, so comfortable in my whole entire life as what I do there, which is mental, do you know, because it's got a reputation, do you know, but I've got brilliant neighbours, do you know what I mean? And it's just like, and I've never felt so relaxed.
So, I mean, we're kind of coming to near the end of our chat. Look, I've gone for ages. Tell us about your further education. How did that come about? And tell us what it is you do now, and how it all came to being, and what it's doing for you.
Yeah. So even that really started when I was in here. Do you know? I mean, I sort of started doing with my voluntary and everything else, with my voluntary at the time. Do you know, I was doing stuff and I was a treasurer for the organisation, do you know what I mean? And I put this system into place and I was recording the receipts and funny enough, do you know, your bookkeeper was the one that recognised what I was doing, do you know what I mean? Yeah, and I tried to have a little slight courses and all that, and he was just like, why don't you go on and do some college certificates in accountancy? And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll give him a call and all that. But I think he knew I was sort
were
of...
Were you thinking, I'm
not I'm not going to do that, you know. I'm never going to do that. But even while I was away then, out and about, he phoned me up then. He went, Sean, I phoned up the college. Get down there now. You can get on to the course. So it's, like I say, it was your bookkeeper that recognised it. Do you know what I mean? What I was doing and all that. Like, I had potential... And because I was keeping a lot of track, I was looking after a lot of money, and do you know what I mean? Yeah. For somebody who was a thief and on benefits, do you know what I mean? It was just like, I was given a huge amount of responsibility.
A level of trust as well. I must have given you a sense of belonging.
I did, you know, because yet again, you know, I couldn't do no wrong. You know, it's just like, no matter what, the more they found out about the past, my past, the more... They were more than happy and content with what I was doing with them. Yeah. Do you know? It was just like the more the lived experience, the more worse the lived experience was, the better it was for them.
But
do you know, like I say, you know, the person, I went away and I'd done the college certificates, do you know what I mean? And I'd done some SVQ and business admin and all, and part of that was within finances, do you know? And then today then, do you know, I'm doing HNC and accountancy.
Fantastic.
So, do you know, and I'm a finance officer, do you know what I mean? And
so where can that take you?
Where can that take me? That could put me into second year university once the other half's complete.
Is that your plan?
I'm not quite sure yet whether to do the AAT level, do you know what I mean? Or just go straight to uni. I haven't really made up my mind.
I suppose regardless of what it is you qualify in, you can go. Back to your hometown and go wave you a bit of paper and say, there you go. Told you I was clever.
I know my parents, because apparently when I graduate, you end up with the big ropes on and I can hire out the hats and all that. And my parents are coming up, do you know what I mean? Brilliant. My mum and dad are coming up to see me graduate. Lovely. And
have they ever been to Glasgow? Have they been up?
Nope. They've never been to Glasgow.
Wow. So, that'd be a lovely experience.
Aye.
So if you were to bestow some advice to people who may be listening to this, who are maybe in the same situation or maybe caught up in an active addiction, what would you say to them?
I'd say to them, you know, give these places your best shot, do you know what I mean? If they've got a chance to get in here, give it your best shot, do you know? Get in here, do you know, and try, you know... Try and get, you know, take on the suggestions, you know. But the most important thing is don't worry about work or money or this or that. You haven't got to worry, you know. You can budget. You do the budgeting classes, do you know what I mean? People should be able to budget their money, do you know. Do you know, but most importantly is just give their heads a bit of respite and time to heal.
What's the one thing that for yourself you can pinpoint where, if you know, looking back, you think that that's That's when my life changed. That's where it worked.
I'm not, it's sort of weird, really. It's just, this time round, I've done things against the grain. I've done things different to how I did it the first time round. Like, I haven't gone straight into work. I've given myself a chance to rest, mate. I've gone through the 12 steps, that I fought with a homeless casework team, got in here, got myself a wee flat, and settled down within Glasgow, But then I suppose just taking on the suggestions, doing a wee bit of voluntary aid, But, the most important thing, those were the good old days where all that mattered was what soup they got on at the cafe. And I need my monthly bus pass.
Yeah.
A bowl of soup and a bus pass were the best days of my life. And a pouch of Snell in my pocket. Yeah. It was just like, it was just nothing mad. I was paid fortnightly by the government, And it was just like, I was on the sick, and it was just like, and I didn't have to worry. My case wasn't going to be looked at for way period because, I got put onto the higher rate benefits in the end, because of my doctor, And it was just like, I didn't have to worry, part of me still thinks, should I have just waited before working, and done this HNC? But, it's a whole new kettle of fish once you're working. It's just no time to myself, and it's just like you earn more money and it goes out the window, just in one hand and out the other. Life on life's term just gets more expensive.
But how do you feel about yourself?
I feel good, actually. I'm probably in the best space I've ever been in since the age of 5.
Wow.
I feel really good, I'm quite happy, I'm quite content. Like I say, I've never felt so at peace in a flat before, it's just, once you get to that stage and it's just like, life's all right, all right, it has its knocks, it has its falls, but it's just like, let's brush myself off, and get on with it.
Yeah.
But I couldn't wish for a better life. Life's perfect, really.
Do you make plans for the future? Have you got some thoughts or goals that you want to achieve?
Getting through this accountancy. Yeah. Getting myself qualified in that area, but that's about it at the moment. Eventually, hopefully then getting qualified, earning lots and lots of money where, I can't spend it and I can only save it and put it towards a house, and a nice car. But, all that will come, And I'm pretty sure once I do get qualified, then the world's my oyster. Who knows, I could even be teaching it.
Absolutely.
You never know.
Absolutely.
But that's the plans. But certainly no matter what is settled here in Glasgow.
And what about a family? Is that something that you've considered or is...
So I've just decided to do the online dating. how can I say it? The friends with benefits type thing just... isn't cutting the dash anymore. It can get a wee bit lonely, just me and the dog in the flat. It's just like, it'd be nice to actually share my life with somebody. So I'm chatting with a lassie at the moment. We're just texting at the moment, and
that's nice.
But we met online. Now we're texting like personal numbers and all that. Funny enough, I see my phone going off there. I think that's her. It's just like seeing how it goes.
It's lovely to see, someone like yourself and others, come through a place like the Arch and begin to achieve and have a life and see a future. It's wonderful. And I want to, thanks for sharing your story. And thanks for, still popping in after the 3 years that you've left, and you keep coming back. Yeah, not like a bad penny, as some would say, but but no, it's great. It's great that you pop in. It's great that you come back and see us, and encourage other guys who are here. So thanks for that,
mate, and thank you to yourselves as well for putting up with us. No, but don't worry, you still get your box of chocolate each Christmas.
Sean, thank you.
No worries. Cheers.
Well, how good was that? Thank you so much, Sean, for coming in, giving up your valuable free time to come in and chat with us. It was great. I loved the stories, loved the attitude, and the positivity that just shines from you. It is an inspiration. So, another episode comes and goes. Thank you for listening. If anything that Sean has shared or any of the previous episodes have touched you in any way and inspired you, then we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us via our website, which is www.scottishchristianalliance.org.uk, or you can get in touch via Twitter at ArchThe and on Instagram, which is SCAARCH36. Well, it's a bit of a journey doing this podcast. It's great to see the numbers of people who download and listen, and it's becoming, believe it or not, across the globe, not just in Scotland, not just in the UK, but into Ireland, Spain, Africa, Australia, United States of America, and Canada. So if you are in those areas, thank you so much for downloading and listening. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to know who's listening to us. So please drop us a line, drop us a message, and get in touch. Now, looking into the future, I have got a little bit of news, nothing concrete, but we may, hopefully before the end of the year, be doing a live broadcast. Yeah, I know, I'm feeling apprehensive about it as well. So just bear it in mind when you're listening to what we do, and it probably would be in Paisley. That's all I can say for the moment. So if you're in the Paisley area, you're listening to our podcast, or you know people who should be listening to our podcast, let them know and tell them that before the end of the year they could be part of an audience listening to a live podcast. I think that's pretty exciting. I'm pretty nervous about it, but it's not confirmed yet, but hey, keep our fingers crossed, and we'll pray, and all that stuff, and we'll see what happens. Anyway, until next time, I've been Brian Reid. Please stay safe, and be blessed.